Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I took my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why.
Everybody, Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now. Election Day in Canada. Get out there and vote. This is Oilers Now, jam-packed edition. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store. Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office, IT, and supplies. All right, here's the deal. The Edmonton Oilers rookies are in action tonight in Calgary. That game is available on EdmontonOilers.com. This on the heels of a Oilers rookie coming from behind, 4-3 victory Saturday night, a game that Jack Michaels and myself called at EdmontonOilers.com. Because of 630 CHED's ongoing commitment to Election Day coverage, again, that game only available via the internet on EdmontonOilers.com. We'll have a recap coming up in the first 10 minutes or so of the game on Saturday night. Some other little tidbits to hit on. Bakersfield Condors head coach Jay Woodcroft, the man who is coaching the Oilers rookies, will join us in 7 minutes' time. We will have some open line time at 12:35. On the River Cree Resort Casino hotline at 780-496-0063. Yes, the province is back up and at 'em. The exemption program is in place. You will need your vaccination identification or, conversely, a negative test in multiple locations throughout the city starting today. I think you can have a negative test over the last 72 hours or have proof. I know the sort of vaccine cards came out, and you can access those on the province of Alberta's website. The River Cree Resort Casino Excitement, bet on it. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted at 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com for more. We're on Twitter, at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer. Tweet Brendan Escott. He is a huge part of the show. At Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. We go straight into the top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. So, Election Day in Canada. It's going to be interesting. Could see a scenario where maybe we're only separated between the two highest polling parties by less than 2%. Somehow, I have a sneaking suspicion that the seat allocation will not replicate how close that is. Just, you know, maybe it's years and years and years of watching how the political process works in this country. But anyhow, get out and vote. That is our recommendation for you. From a hockey front, the Edmonton Oilers rookies in action Saturday night. They ended up sort of got off to a tough start. It happens for Dmitry Samarukov. He threw a big hit and then tried to step up and throw another big hit on a hulking forward by the name of Walker Dewar. Dewar had a little bit of momentum going, and suddenly you could see Samarukov was not right, went to the bench, and never returned to the game. And yesterday, the Oilers, as we were at the rookie camp skate yesterday, announced that Dmitry Samarukov will be out 6 weeks with a broken jaw. So Dylan Holloway, probably the Oilers' best forward prospect, and Dmitry Samarukov no worse than the Oilers' maybe second-best defense prospect, and I'm not including Boucher in the mix because I've got him on the team, they ultimately are not going to be involved in the process to start the season in the American Hockey League. Now, on top of Jay Woodcroft today, there was a development Friday night, ultimately got announced on Saturday, but Kyler Yamamoto, a one-year deal, $1.175 million, and we will hear from Oilers forward Kyler Yamamoto today at 1:35. So he signs actually, Brendan, can you go on and call Jay right now? He's just reached out to me here. Need to get going, so feel free to give him a call. But Kyler Yamamoto is in the fold, less than $1.2 million, similar type of numbers. If you heard my hit with Reid Wilkins on Friday night when I was at another game in town, we had kind of discussed that it would be a one-year deal and right around the Puljujärvi number, and so it is. And sort of a prove-it deal for Kyler Yamamoto, who bets on himself. And again, we'll talk to Yamamoto later in the show along with John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. When we come back in 30 seconds' time, we'll hook up with Bakersfield Condors head coach Jay Woodcroft.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 12:13 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Oilers Now, and graciously making some time for us on a travel day is Bakersfield Condors head coach Jay Woodcroft. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Jay, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I won't be joining you for this game tonight because it's the election, so we got election coverage. Hard to believe that a rookie game gets stood up as a result of the Canadian federal election today, Jay.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that when we got the schedule, but we're looking forward to a good competitive game down in Calgary's rink, and I thought it was competitive the first night on Saturday night, and we expect another competitive one today down in Calgary.
All right, Jay, let's get to there was a turning point early in the game, and it's when Samarukov got hurt, and he stepped up through a huge hit, then he tried to step up and throw another one, and he ran into a freight train. I think it was Walker Dewar that caught him. And it looked, you know, Calgary got two quick goals off, one off an extended cycle. Dewar was involved in a boat. And could you feel, was there a little bit of nervousness with your team at that time? You just lost, your biggest, most physical defenseman. What did you sort of see happen in that scenario?
Yeah, I didn't think we started the game anywhere near the way we wanted to. I thought our skating wasn't at the level that I had seen the previous 2 days. I think you mentioned it. There's probably a little bit of nerves for some of these young men, but anytime there's an injury like that happens in the game, sometimes there's a sag. And I thought there was a sag for a little while. And then the last 6 or 7 minutes of that period, I thought we stacked a few shifts together. We earned a power play. We scored a nice power play goal, and then we took a penalty that I didn't think we needed to take, just on a mental error, and then they scored on their power play. So we found ourselves down 3-1 after that first period. We walked into the room after it, and we talked about keeping our pitcher small and trying to break the second period down into 5-minute segments, and just keep putting good shifts together. And I thought we took the game over in the second period. Yeah. And that carried over into the third period as well. I thought we were the better team through the last two periods, and we found a way. And even though it's a rookie camp game, the Battle of Alberta means something, and I like it when the good guys end up on top.
Well, it's interesting because your team had resiliency last year in the minors, and I looked to a guy like James Hamblin, and I know he's on an American Hockey League deal, but he's, like, to me, from my understanding, was he kind of became a bit of a glue guy for you down in the minors as the season wore on. And he was kind of the guy that was, and he wasn't necessarily rewarded. It wasn't his power play unit that scored. We'll get to a couple of those guys in a second. But I think he kind of was a bit of a pace setter for you, 5v5.
Yeah, I can't say enough about James Hamblin. I think he's somebody who I didn't know much about before he went to Bakersfield. He just kept getting better and better. He earned and gained the coaching staff's trust. We use him in every type of situation. And I think, you know, he's pressing to one day earn an NHL contract. That's what he's here for, is to try and leave an impression and put his name in the mix to try and earn a contract one day. And, you know, I think he gave a good account of himself. Obviously, he's still very trusted by our coaching staff. I think he does a lot of little things in the game, things like pre-bumping his check to establish position. I think he's hard on other teams' good players. And, you know, it's certainly not underappreciated by the coaching staff. He's someone you know what you're getting shift in, shift out with James Hamblin.
All right. Ostap Safin was involved in both power play goals. The first one, he made a tremendous pass through the seam, second one short side. They both ended up leading to Henry Rabinski power play markers. He, too, is looking for a contract. But Safin's sort of a tantalizing prospect because he's 6'5". Clearly, he's got some skill. Just, you know, he had real injury issues a couple of years ago. And is that the good Ostap that you saw once in a while down in the minors last year?
Yeah, and you know, it hasn't been easy for Ostap in his development. You mentioned his last year junior. He was on a good team, but he was banged up for much of that year. His first year of pro, he spent the majority of time in Wichita in the East Coast Hockey League. Last year, he had ups and downs in his season, but I can tell you that in the playoffs, he had a pretty good run. So he played his best hockey as it wore down late in the regular season and into the playoffs. He's somebody who's entering a very important or very critical stage in his career. He's in year three. This is the time when you establish yourself and you define yourself as a true prospect. So it'll be interesting to see how he continues to work his way through rookie camp and then against more established professionals in main camp. I'm excited to see where he's at.
What did you think of Philip Roberg, Jay?
I liked him. I thought, you know, his skating is what stands out, and he can be dynamic when he's lugging the puck up the ice, and we know that. I've seen him in World Juniors do that, and obviously I was around the bubble camp last year, and I get to see some things firsthand, but I thought he made some good plays at the offensive blue line that impressed me. I think there's areas of his game where there's room for improvement, and, you know, we understand He's a young man. He's going to have those things in his game that he has to continue to get better at. And, you know, through this week of camp, he's working with Dave Manson, and he's got a great attitude about the work he's putting in. And he's starting to establish a relationship with Dave and work on some of those fundamental defensive skills that we think there's room for improvement.
Saw Xavier Bourgault on the ice yesterday at Rogers Place. He took a hit from behind with about 3:40 left in the game. Is he good to go tonight?
He's in. He will be in, and he'll play on that same line with Lavoie and Hamblin.
Okay, and what did you think of Bourgault, the other first rounder that he had going?
Yeah, I thought he was someone who made some subtle, skilled plays that I was impressed with. I thought he came alive on the power play. He had some chance. I found him in the chances when we relooked at things after the game. I think for a guy in his first impression wearing the jersey of the team who drafted him, he showed well. And he's like a lot of these other guys, though. We're looking for him to take a step tonight.
All right. Very quickly, they've got some toughness. Is that anything that, you know, a couple guys ran around a bit and actually took a couple undisciplined penalties, which helped you out sort of killing the clock late in the game. Do you not respond to that unless it gets outright stupid?
Well, I think you got to look at how our rookie team is built. I don't think we necessarily have someone whose only role is to take care of that side of things. I think, you know, our toughness will show up in the form of winning puck battles, going to hard areas on the ice, being good along the wood, those type of things. And for me, that doesn't mean you allow someone to take advantage of you in any way. I think we're team tough, and you saw that, how guys stood up for each other. I thought that that was excellent. But yeah, and then when they take undisciplined penalties, you want to make sure that you hit them where it hurts and allow your power play to be a form of your toughness as well. And the power play was very good last game. So we're, you know, we put a good day of practice in yesterday, which I think is key. You know, we just didn't take the day off.
Right.
I think we're trying to teach these young guys how to be pros, and pros practice the next day, and they'll work at their game, and they continually carve away at trying to round out not only their individual game but their team's game. And we had a good day yesterday. We had a quick morning skate today. We're getting on the bus here in the next couple minutes, and we're looking for a good effort.
All right. Much appreciated, Jay. I know I got to let you go. Thanks for your time, and good luck tonight.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
You bet. That is Jay Woodcroft. He is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. So in that game, just a couple other thoughts here regarding the game Saturday night, which was played at Rogers Place. Raphael Lavoie, to me, looks like he's increased his quickness a little bit. There were a couple flybys where he had an opportunity to knock some guys on their proverbial butts. He can shoot the puck a ton. Had an absolute rip job on the first power play that hit the post. And then the Oilers rookies got one right after Safin, Caldas, and Rabinski connected on a three-way passing play. Open net tap in for Rabinski. Real nice plays by both Safin and Caldas on that. So didn't mind Lavoie. Liked Hamlin a lot. It's going to be interesting because a guy like Rabinski, you'd have to think, who was slated to return to the Seattle Thunderbirds, is probably hoping for a contract. I mean, this is a player that the Florida Panthers elected not to sign. He's a 6'3" right shot center. Okay? Organizations need 6'3" right shot centers that they can develop. You need a couple of guys like that. Maybe you hit on one of them. With Broberg, you could see the skating ability. I will say this. At times, I'm a little bit nervous that he puts himself in difficult positions on the ice where he might get pounded. And I think he'll learn early that he can't do that on a regular basis. So Philip Kemp scored a couple goals. One of them was quite a fortuitous bounce. The other one was a real smart play. We're going to hear momentarily from Kemp and Rabinski, who are two of the stars. They both scored two goals in the 4-3 victory. Olivier Rodrigue battled because it wasn't good early for the Oilers rookies in that game. So to the Oilers now, Audio Vault. We'll mention Ilya Konovalov starts tonight. A lot of fans really interested to see him play. The Oilers now, Audio Vault, is brought to you daily by Direct Workwear, where safety meets savings in Edmonton, Fort McMurray, and online at directworkwear.com. Philip Kemp scored twice for the Oilers rookies against the Flames rookies. He had these comments after the game Saturday night.
It was a great win for us. I feel like anytime we're playing Calgary, we're representing the jersey, and we just kind of want to win for the organization. We kind of came out a little flat, maybe just getting out the rust. And then by the second, I feel like we had our legs under us, and we kind of just kept getting in their zone, playing physical, and just good things happened.
And Henry Rabinski, playing for a contract, scored twice. He had these comments on his performance against the Flames rookies.
I was a little nervous going in, and then just on the goals, just was right place, right time. Players made really good passes and kind of helped boost the confidence for myself and the team, and then we overall just started playing better, and that led to us grabbing the win tonight.
That's Henry Rabinski again. He's playing for a contract, expected to be one of the 20s to go back to Seattle. Big 6'3" right shot center. All right, into NHL today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing Company, branded apparel, products, and awards, all created in-house. Shop local at ElitePromoMarketing.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Well, again, you're going to hear from him at 1:35 today, but Kyler Yamamoto signing a one-year, $1.175 million contract extension with the team on Saturday. Former second overall pick Nolan Patrick signed a two-year deal with Vegas, who traded for his services this offseason. It's worth $1.2 million per season. 44-year-old Zdeno Chara, he's heading back to where it all began, signing a one-year deal with the New York Islanders. They took Chara in the third round of the 1996 draft. Senators 2016 first rounder Logan Brown signed a 1-year two-way extension there. Nikita Gusev is in Toronto on a professional tryout offer, and Travis Zajac, he signed a 1-day contract with New Jersey to retire with the Devils, where he spent all but 25 games of his 15-year NHL career. The Oil Kings split a pair of road games against the Blades in Saskatoon. They lost 4-3 on Friday, but bounced back 7-3 on Saturday night. They will wrap up exhibition play, a home-and-home series Friday and Saturday against the Calgary Hitmen. And the Golden Bears fell at home 5-2 to Mount Royal on Friday, but responded with a 5-3 road win the next night. The Calgary Dinos will be in town this Friday.
Just on the Oil Kings, they got 9 regulars out of the lineup. They're up 7-0 after 2 against Saskatoon on Saturday. We mentioned, hey, go vote, and Frank has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. What, Stauffer, no comments on updated numbers regarding COVID? Well, all right, if you want, or any NFL reference he adds. Here we go. Canada is currently at a 79.5% full vaccination rate, 12+. Alberta is at 71.6%. In the last 120 days in the province of Alberta, there have been 129 people in ICU aged 12 to 39. None of them were fully vaccinated. That stat again, last 129 days, or last 120 days, 129 people in ICU aged 12 to 39, all 129 were unvaccinated. And over the course of the last 120 days, there have been 61 deaths in the province, COVID-19, ages 12 to 59. This is age groups that could be vaccinated. 4 were fully vaccinated. 2, 40 to 49. 2, 50 to 59. Read between the lines. I think you can figure it out. Football. Hey, we told you there were going to be a couple beauties this weekend, and there was. Alabama, Florida. Alabama did not cover. They got the victory, 31-29. Huge, massive numbers for viewership on that. The Edmonton Elks in action, Brendan, on Saturday. Third quarter turning point. Back-to-back missed field goals by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the Elks elect to run the ball out with a rookie quarterback. So they run the ball out. They get the ball deep in their own zone. Rookie QB turns the ball over twice. Ball ends up in the end zone. Game over against Winnipeg, who's now 6-1. The Elks drop to 2-4, including 0-4 at home. And how about the game last night? You watched that game last night, Brendan, between Lamar and Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, that was appointment television for me.
It's a great game, man. That was real good football. That was a heck of a game. And Lamar finally got a win. And, hey, it was there for KC to take, and give the Ravens credit, because it didn't start well and they had some tough challenges during the like a bunch of injuries. Highly entertaining football. Not a bad game either between the Titans, the Tennessee Titans yesterday, and the Seahawks as well. All right, 12:29 in Edmonton. When we come back, what's the biggest area of concern? Is we're 2 days away. The Oilers pro players, most of which who have been in town. They're pro guys, get all the physicals and all that stuff. Training camp officially opens on Wednesday. What is your biggest concern as we head into training camp to get things started here on the 2021-22 NHL season? We'll get. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, 780-496-0063, or text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.